This morning, if you guys want to open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, that's where we're going to hang out this morning. We're going to kind of be in a couple of places, but that's where we're going to be for the most part. So most of you guys know, I think, that Adam and myself, we lead a young adults group, college group, it's called right now. We're trying to come up with a name, something really good. But right now it's college group, which is great. You don't have to be in college to come, but it's just like a point of reference. You know what I mean? It's that age group. But we've just spent the last couple months in 2 Timothy. Before that, we were in 1 Timothy, and we just made the jump to Colossians. God's doing a really cool work in our young adults, but man, being in that book of 2 Timothy, I got to tell you, has hit me in a way in these past, I've been there personally off and on for the past couple of years. My pastor back in Colorado, Jimmy, he always used to be like, JJ, you're like that Timothy to me. And I was just like, yeah, that's cool. Like, you know, but to really understand what Timothy was to Paul, it's huge. It's a big honor. So in thinking about that and developing those Timothys in our young adults has been it's been awesome. And last time I actually shared up here, we were in 2 Timothy, and we did 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, and it was the be ready in season, out of season. I don't know if you guys remember that. We're going to touch up on it again. Tom, when he asked me to share, he was like, so since you've been in 2 Timothy, I figure you probably got something cooking that's going to be real good. And I was like, actually, it's like the same verses I shared on last time. Is that weird? And he was like, whatever the Lord has put on your heart is what we want. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm just real quick, it says, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For a time will come when they will heap up for themselves teachers to hear what they want to hear, because they have itching ears. And it says they will be turned aside from the truth, and they will be turned aside to fables. And verse 5, he says to Timothy, he says, but you. And I love this, because he sets him apart. And he says, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions. None of us like that one. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. And this, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work. Like, nobody, honestly, like, do more work. I feel like everybody has, their plate is full with work. But Paul says to Timothy, he calls him out, so to speak, in a loving way, as only a big brother can do to a little brother. If you don't know someone very well and they call you out on something, you're like, whoa, easy. But if it's like your brother, if it's someone who loves you, who knows you, who has invested their life, pointed you to the Lord, and they say, but you, be set apart. Do the work of an evangelist. And that's hit me hard, because I'm like, I spent my coffee intake has like seriously doubled since Oliver. So And with needing time for preparation, I've been downtown at a coffee shop studying. I love studying and having the Word open and my computer and just doing my thing in a public setting. It's cool. It's like, if you haven't done it before, it's you know, whatever. You can say it's freeing or it's, but you know what? It's sweet. I love it. Watching people's eyes. Yesterday, this one kid just like, I could tell. He was behind me, but he was burning a hole through my back. You know, I'm like, yeah, dude, it's the Word. You want to talk? Anyways, so I've been down at this coffee shop, and the conversations that you hear in a coffee shop they're pretty varied. I've heard all sorts of stuff. I heard guys yesterday talking about Magic the Gathering, some Star Wars thing or magic thing or whatever. And then these other guys, they have their art books out, you know, they take up the whole table and they're just like really getting artsy, you know, and I'm like, oh, Bellingham is awesome. And just like everything that's going on, I hear all of these conversations. But I got to tell you, I didn't hear anybody talking about the Lord. Should I expect to? I don't know. I love snowboarding. You guys probably know that. I spend, you know, as much, in the past 15 years, I've probably snowboarded, I don't know, 150 days a year for the last 12, 15 years. So a lot of days I've been on the hill. You know what I hear talked about the least on the mountain? Is the creator of that mountain. It bothers me a little bit because I have an opportunity to say something. And a lot of times I probably don't because I'm focused on how good I'm snowboarding or you know, whatever, how cool my pants look. And if I have proper goggle sag. But do the work of an evangelist is really piercing my heart. And when I see this, I'm a visual person. I need an example. So I look up this word evangelist. It's such like a, for lack of a better term, it's such a Christian-y term, you know? You know, the evangelist. When I think of evangelist, I mean, first thing that comes to my mind, Billy Graham. Yeah, of course. What an amazing evangelist. Do you know the word evangelist means? It means a messenger of good tidings. Tidings. It makes me think of that song, good tidings we bring. But tidings, news or information. A messenger of news or information. Someone who brings the gospel. Do you feel like you're an evangelist this morning? Honestly, do you feel like you're an evangelist? I think a lot of us would probably say, I'm not an evangelist. I'm a landscaper. I'm a snowboarder. I'm a husband. I'm a father. John the Baptist was an evangelist. Pastor Greg Laurie's an evangelist. You guys ever spend a few minutes with Tom outside of here? Man loves to share the love of Jesus, doesn't he? Getting coffee, and he sees opportunities. I'm like, man, that was a good one. How did he see that? And he's in there. And I'm like, I'll meet you at the table. But he's just like, he's on it. He loves to share. I mean, at the Mac store, what's he known as? Oh, here's Pastor Tom, you know. Do you want a computer? Nah, I just want to share the Lord with you guys. We think, we're like, no, that's what an evangelist looks like. I'm not an evangelist. I just would say boldly right now, if that's your stance this morning, I love you. But I would say that would be wrong thinking. See, in Ephesians 4:12, it says, he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So there's a gifting. There's definitely a gift of evangelism that people have. Some of these that we mentioned have the gift of evangelism. Pastor Greg, the harvest, the vision he has, the magnitude, the way the Lord has given on his heart to reach people. This is a gift of evangelism. You can't deny it. But I feel like there's a little bit of a, and I'm talking widespread in the church, a kind of like the attitude of, you know what? Our pastor, he you know, he's studying during the week. He's out. He can do the evangelizing for our church, whether it be Calvary Northwest. And I'm not saying that is a thought that anyone has. I'm just in my brain, widespread, be like, you know what? Tom's out there. He does good. At work, they know I'm a Christian. That's good. You know, they know that I don't drink. You know, I don't like rude jokes. I don't like to cuss. That's good. And that is good. That is great. But the attitude that, see, he says he gave some to be pastors, teachers. You know what a pastor's job is? It says it right there in the second part of that verse, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So if we left all of this to the pastors of the world, there's just not enough of them, man. There's one pastor. Look at this. There's a couple hundred people in here. It's awesome. We're the saints. Saint is like a really sweet word for you, for us, okay? And you can dress it up how you want, but for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry, the service of the ministry. We're going to look at a great servant this morning. So I'm like, okay, evangelist. I look it up and it says, in my cross-reference Bible, I got a new Bible for Christmas. It's so sweet. It says, check out Acts 21:8. I go to Acts 21:8. It's the end of Acts. People are traveling with Paul, and it says, and then we came to Caesarea, where we stayed with, dun, 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 Philip the evangelist. I was like, okay, on to something. I want to see what an evangelist looks like. Do the work of an evangelist. What does an evangelist work look like? Well, Philip the evangelist. What do we know about Philip? Well, here's what we know about Philip, and where we're going to be this morning is in Acts 8. I call it Philip's chapter. He gets his chapter. The Lord just used him in a very powerful way for me and hopefully for you as well. So in chapter 8, and this morning, just for time's sake, we're just going to be in the second part of the chapter. And so in starting in verse 29, I'm going to read 29 through the end of the chapter. So here it goes. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch asked Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this, of himself or another man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and he baptized them. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. So the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Lord God, we thank you for today, Father. I thank you for your word, that it just cuts right to the heart of the matter, Lord God. Please change us this morning, Lord. We want to be changed. We want to leave here different than when we came in. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys are probably familiar with this scripture. I love it. A couple things people get caught up in. At the end, Philip, they came up out of the water and Philip was gone. What do you mean he's gone? He's gone. Caught away in the Spirit. Sweet. Yeah. Supernatural work of God. Unbelievable. But here's what really spoken to me. Philip, was he seeking to please people? I don't think so. Matter of fact, I would say not at all. He was looking to please only God. In the beginning of this chapter, so Paul's on the scene. This is the beginning of Acts. The church is in Jerusalem. Paul comes on the scene, persecuting the church super hard. Drives out the Christians out of Jerusalem, and they're scattered, okay? Philip ends up in Samaria, 50-ish miles away, something like that. Ends up in Samaria, preaching the gospel. Philip the evangelist. How did Philip come onto the scene? Do you guys remember? Back in chapter 6 of Acts, Philip was one of the seven men that was picked to help in the daily distribution of the widows that were being overlooked. Remember? They're like, find among you seven men full of the Spirit, that that will handle this matter. And so, and the pastors say, and they will give themselves fully to teaching and prayer. Pastors equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. So they can give themselves fully to prayer. So, being that Pastor Tom is my pastor, and he has all his funny little rhymy things, holy, heaven's holy offering, H2O, all those, there are four things I feel like the Lord really spoke to me through this. Number one, be filled. Four steps for me to do an evangelist work. Be filled. What do you mean? Well, in Acts 6:3, it tells us that Philip was full of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit of God, you guys. That's like a... You remember when Tom was talking about the house and there's the load-bearing walls, you know? And then there's like someone can frame in a room. They want it to look like this. But there's the load-bearing walls. They're the things that stand. This is one. We need the Holy Spirit of God. Apart from the Holy Spirit of God, we can do nothing on our own. So if you're in a place where you're like, man, I'm tired. Like, I want to tell people about God, but it's just like, I don't know. It's tough. I'm running on empty. My boss is this. I'm being dragged here. Are you full of the Holy Spirit of God? It always comes down to that. First and foremost, you have to be filled. See, when you're saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. That's a one-time deal. God says he actually dwells within us. But being filled by the Holy Spirit is a continual thing. It needs to happen over and over and over. Imagine, if you will, we're going to use this throughout the message because it's helped me, a vessel. Just imagine vessels, okay? A cup. If your cup is full, it needs to be full. Otherwise, we're just like this thing, you know? You can look through it, it's nothing. It's just a vessel. It's good for nothing except for transporting liquids, but it's empty. There's nothing in there. We have to be filled. We can do nothing on our own. Maybe you're saying, I want to be used by God, but I don't hear him. Well, I would ask you this. What are you drawing close to? See, people are like, oh man, there's all this stuff hitting me at all times. Actually, that's a really nice way for us to say, I'm indulging in this. I'm allowing this into my life, or I'm not allowing this into my life. Do you guys catch me? Because we're filling ourselves with something, okay? The world is coming at us in a thousand. You're online, right? With one, if you go up to your bar or Google, you type A, okay? You could be searching for Apple. You type A, and it's like a bazillion things that start with A, and you're all P, a bazillion things. Finally, you know, I always look. I'm all A. I don't like to type, so I'm all whatever it is, you know, when I'm typing up, you know, something. I do like the first three letters, and then I'm looking, I'm all, there it is. No, the fourth letter, and there it is. So there's so many, I mean, the amount of information out there it's mind-blowing what is coming at you all the time. We don't have TV. And it's not that I don't want TV. But we haven't had TV since we moved to Bellingham. And we may never have a TV again. It has been like the most amazing time at home with my family. Like we watch movies. And actually, the States went to like an all digital thing, remember? It's like, okay, well, we in Bellingham, you get Canadian stations. So we get the most positive news channels you've ever seen. Like, it's hilarious. So anyways, so every once in a while, we're like, what's going on in Vancouver? So we have two channels, but we don't have, I can't sit down. Living in Breckenridge, I could go home and I could watch four rounds all day long of a golf tournament and be like, totally fine. People are like, what? I could. That's like, what, 16 hours, you know? I mean, that's a lot of time. There are so many things coming at us. What are we letting in? Because we're going to be filled with something. God says if we draw close to him, he will draw close to us. In Timothy, where we've been with the college kids, It says, 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, Philip wasn't called to be an evangelist at the beginning. He was serving the widows, remember. He was diligent to present himself approved to God only, not the people around him. He was serving the Lord, and because of that, he was asked, he was chosen to be one of these seven guys. Later in the chapter, 2 Timothy, in verse 20, it says, and here's where we get the vessels. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, the second one, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, which means set apart, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Wow. We're a vessel. You're filled with something. If you're full of the Spirit, awesome. We want to keep going. Stay strong. Be diligent to present yourself approved to the Lord. Keep going. We need you. Keep going. If you're a vessel, so if you look at these two vessels, some for honor and some for dishonor, you have some people over for dinner, right? You break out the dishes. These are the things that you use. These are the ones that, like, you know, you come over, we have our set of plates, bam, 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 our cups. Here's what we have. This is what we use, okay? Underneath the sink, there's a cup under there full of whatever, cleansing solution. Or, you know, here's one. My mom, she used to keep a cup full of bacon grease. Anybody ever do that? I married a healthy woman. We don't do that anymore. I was always like, what? I don't. You need to, like, sizzle. Put that thing on there before you put the eggs on there. We don't do that anymore. Okay, so imagine you have your cup full of pure water, you know, your whatever, like your good water. Then you have your bacon grease. I had another analogy, but we'll go with bacon grease. It's Sunday. One's for honor, one's not for. But it's just a cup. If you took that cup, got rid of the stuff, and you washed that puppy out, bam, it's good to go. It's set apart. The thing's ready to rock and roll. Fill it up with water. It's good to go. Okay? That's where I'm at. That's what I'm thinking. If we cleanse ourselves from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor. You will be a vessel for honor. Sanctified, useful for the master. God will set you apart, and he will prepare you for the good work of the ministry that he has. Ephesians 4:22 says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to its deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The men's conference we were just at, that was the title. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that was a lot that was talked about down there. What's inside? Because what's inside is going to come out. I know that that's, like, you know, something that we hear all the time, but is it not the truth? I found myself, I love music, man. I love it. There's certain music that I just can't listen to because after a while, it just brings me down, man. It changes my whole outlook. I was brought to tears by that last song. It was so edifying. Just built me up. I mean, that's just giving everything you have to the Lord. But what I'm saying is the things that we let in really do affect us. Movies, music, internet, I mean, TV shows, dang. The days of, like, happy days are long gone, okay? I don't know if the last time you guys watched a high school TV show, like 10 years ago, it would have been like a rated R movie. It's just, it's gnarly, okay, for lack of a better term. What are we letting in? Be filled with the Spirit, you guys. Apart from the Spirit, we can do nothing. Point two of my four-point sermon. Be spilled. Be filled, be spilled. This is the uncomfortable part. In back in Acts, in 8 and 26, in verse 26, Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Wow. He was just in a place that was like, it was popping off. Like it was going crazy. People were getting saved. Rad things were happening. And God says, hey, go to the desert. Really? Like, why? What do you mean? We're doing such a good job here. Like, this is what it's all about, right, Lord? What does Philip do? Sometimes God calls us to some pretty random places. We were never planning on leaving Breckenridge. Not that we were, like, opposed to going anywhere, but it wasn't like we loved it. We were where we were at. We loved it. There was definitely a sense of comfort there, and looking back, yeah, we were comfortable, man. Things were going good. People knew we were Christians. People knew we went to church. Awesome. God had something more. Looking back on it a year and a half later, if we wouldn't have come here, I can't even, it's been like the most amazing year and a half of my life. It's been really hard. It's been really hard. But God is so faithful. And when we choose to fill ourselves with the Spirit of God, with God's Word, He will equip us for the work. But here's the deal. He doesn't want us to walk around with this full cup being like, look at me, I'm so full of the Spirit. He says, be spilled. He wants us to just be spilled out. He calls us to the desert. I love it. I get a text from Tom, not this week because his phone was off. I'm happy for him. But he says he so deserves it. And Pam too. Man, these guys are awesome. But last time I preached, it's still in here. My phone saves. So I look back through conversations, text conversations I've had with people. He calls it the Holy Spirit ride. He loves it. He's all, hang on, dude. Here it comes. Get ready for the ride of your life, you know. He always make these funny little snowboard quirks and stuff. But he's talking about the Holy Spirit ride. That, seriously, whew. I like going fast and jumping big and doing things. But there is nothing that, like, the Holy Spirit ride, man, it'll get you going if you allow the Lord to just spill you out and you follow. So he arose and went. Verse 20, that's it. There's no like 26 and a half that says, but, because that's where we mess up right there. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning, and was sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake his chariot. Okay, so he's called to the desert, walking along the road. It's one commentary I looked at said there was two roads from Jerusalem to Gaza, and this was the one less traveled. Okay, so he's out on this road in the desert, walking. It's not like a half an hour jaunt down the guide, dodging people, trying to get from Bellingham to Linden. We were walking back then. Like, man, I think God knew what he was doing. These guys, they had to slow down a little bit, go along the road. Because me, I'd be like, oh, this guy in a chariot, move, I'm supposed to go somewhere. There's ministry to be done, right? But he's out there, and this shows me, we never know what we're going to encounter. We never know what we're going to encounter. Sometimes the Spirit's going to tip you over, and you're going to be spilled, and you're going to share with someone, and you're going to get shut down so hard, you'll be like, whoa. Happened to me on the chairlift a while back. My board, it says Jesus on the front, and it's just a quiet little thing that I love. It just makes me, I'm not like, you know, I mean, I'm telling you guys, this. I'm not just up here. This is right here. This hits me so hard. This, where do we share this, the work of an evangelist? And I'm on the chair, and this kid's all, does your board say Jesus? And I'm all nice. And I'm like, yeah, dude, it does. That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. And it just goes off on me, dude. We get off the chair, you know, cussing at me. I was like, wow. Bye. I was like, really? That was it, huh? You know, in snowboarding, you're always scared to fall. If the guys that are scared to fall will never go really, really big or really, really fast. X Games is going on right now. I look at some friends. I have a couple of really good friends that we're just praying for them. They're in the finals today. But the other night he was competing. He fell hard. He fell hard. He got back up. The kid's 130 pounds, dripping wet, and he's like one of the best snowboarders in the world. He gets back up, gets back to the top, and he goes again. See, if we're scared to fall, we're never. But once you fall, you're all, wow. Actually, I'm okay. Like, that hurt a little bit. I'll probably be sore tomorrow. The two-day sore is the worst, 2 days after. But you're like, I'm good. I can keep going. That kid hit me hard, and I got off the chair, and I was all, wow, that wasn't that bad, actually. You know, I don't know. I didn't know what I was expecting. I'm going to, like, start throwing darts at me or something, but I was just like, that's my pride getting in the way. Sometimes you're going to get shut down. Other times people are literally asking for help, man. This guy, he walks along, and he's reading a scroll that he must have bought that would have cost a lot of money. And he's reading Isaiah the prophet. And so Philip comes up to him and just simply opens his mouth. This is where we get in the way of what God wants to do. What do you mean? I have it here in bold, and it's the word excuses. It's a polite, really, it's a polite way of saying no. It's a way of saying no that makes us feel okay about saying no. I would, but. Oh, yeah. This kid's hurting, you know. His family life's messed up. Someone, you know, he's struggling with drugs. Oh, yeah. I've been there. Man, I'd help him. I would. But I got to go. I got to get home. I have to meet someone. I have to. Well, here, I didn't even think about these. I just spit them out. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm not. This is a big one. I'm not smart enough. I can't tell you how often that one hits me. Man, those guys are super smart. I don't know. Like, he's got like 9 books with him. I don't know. I'm too. Some people, I'm too smart. Ever met those guys? I'm not ready. How big is that one? I'm too busy. How about this one? My cup isn't full enough yet. I'm not ready, God. It's just not quite there. You're almost there, so you keep doing what you're doing, Lord, and then, like, I'll be ready soon, and then we'll go out and we'll conquer the world. I'm in a hurry. I don't have anything good to say to them. I don't have anything to offer. I'm not an evangelist. That ring true for anybody? No wonder we feel benched at times, you know? You feel like you're just kind of on the shelf, and you're like, man, I'm not really doing anything. God's not really using me. Are you filled? Yeah, I love God. I love His Word. I have my quiet times. I'm reading the Bible in a year or whatever. Are you being spilled out? Jonah spills stuff all the time. It's just what he does. It's awesome. It's just like, okay, well, we're going to clean that up. But spilled, it just happens. It's not like something you can be like, okay, 3, 2, 1, kick it over. It just happens. Uh-oh, Dad, it's okay, bud. Don't worry about it. Don't cry over spilled milk. Steph. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. But God is trying to put us in the game. He's like a JV coach. You know what I mean? JV. All our kids play. That's like the motto. If you show up for the JV team, you're playing. But if there's a kid just being like, I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to. Okay, well, you don't have to. You know, you don't have to play. But God's just being like, man, I've set you apart. I've saved you. You want to play? You want me to use you? You're filled. Be spilled. Let me use you. Paul says, in 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 9:16, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity it is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. He says in 17 in the second part, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. So we have this thing that's been entrusted to us. We have this hope that we have, that when we look at ourselves and we're like, I don't have anything to say. Well, maybe in and of yourself you don't have anything to say, but there's a work that has been done in you that could speak volumes into this other person. See, Philip's going along and his own, you know, if you can put your mind, okay, chariot, the whole nine yards, I'm sure the guy's got some servants, he's sitting up high, Philip's walking, dirty, okay? This guy's like a celebrity, right? So he's walking along, and he sees this guy. He's not just like, doo-doo-doo-doo, I'm past this guy. He's looking around. Third point, be aware. What's going on around you? We are in the world, after all. We're not called to be of this world, but we're in this world for a reason. What's going on around you? Philip sees what's going on around him. This guy's reading the Bible. I mean, straight up, he's just like, whoa, okay, opportunity. You know, there's a spilling right there. He's filled with the Spirit. He sees the Spirit's guiding. He's being spilled out right here. We are in the world after all. Verses 30 and 31 says, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet and said, do you understand what you are reading? Why would he say that? I just can't get past what. Instead of just walking up and being like, God loves you. Later. You're going to find all the answers you need in there. He walks up. He's aware. This guy's searching. What's that about? He walks up to him. He's like, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy says, 31, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Straight invitation. So cool. Do you understand these things you're going through? Oh, man, yeah, I've been there. You want to talk about it? Yeah. In a public place? Ooh. Tony and I had coffee the other day. Black Drop, this place downtown. We're hanging out. That's what we do, man. We talk about the Lord, and when we're done, we pray. We send each other off. Are we in a public place? Yeah, we're in a public place. So what? This is who we are. This is what we do. We're filled by the Spirit. We're not conformed by this world, okay? We're called to be set apart. I'm not an evangelist. That's not true. You may not be called to go out and huge venues in the whole nine yards. You're called to share the hope that is within you. The Great Commission, go and make disciples. That's what it's about, you guys. So be aware. Okay, cool. Philip's aware of what's in front of him. What's in front of you? Well, I'm not just walking along the road. Like, I have bills to pay. Like, I have things I have to do. I have a family to take. Awesome. Do you know the names of everybody you work with? When you walk in, do people say, hey, JJ, or do they go, hey, dude, as you walk in? Do you know the people you work with? What's in front of you? Is it work? Is it school? Is it your family? Moms. I just watching Steph. Honestly, it's hard for us guys to fully get it, but you guys pour so much of yourselves into your children. And I imagine that you feel kind of cut off from the outside world in certain ways. And really, you are. I mean, you're just, you know, every 3 hours, you this or naps and food. And it stresses me out just thinking about it, what Steph has to do. But God wants to spill you there. Because, see, healthy sheep beget healthy sheep. Our pastor equips the sheep for the work of the ministry. But he doesn't produce healthy sheep. Pastors don't produce, they equip. Healthy sheep produce more healthy sheep. So moms at home, we're praying for you. We love you. Thank you for the work that you do. You're there for a reason. There is a reason you are the mother of that child and of that household and a husband to that stubborn man. Yeah, this stubborn man. Anyways. Do you really know what that person's going through? Have you listened? Do you know what you're reading? No. Well, let me tell you everything you need to know. Jesus will do it. Have you listened? Have you listened? Do you know what that person's going through? People are going through so many things. Sometimes someone, if they really tell you what they're going through, you're like, whoa. Tom shared a couple weeks ago. Wow. I'm speechless. Can we pray? We need the Holy Spirit of God. It's not like we're going to step into a situation and be like, I'm a Christian. Let me help you. You know, it's on our own. We have nothing. Be aware. Be engaged. Get in the game. Fourth thing. Be filled. Be spilled. Be aware. Go there. And in parentheses, I have completely. Go there completely. Verses 31 through 40. How can I, unless someone someone guides me? Where they read is in Isaiah. And in verse 35, let's jump to there. Then, 34, I ask you, whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Verse 35, I have this underlined. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Then Philip opened his mouth. And beginning at this scripture, this is Isaiah. Did you know, Tom and I did this a couple weeks ago, just for fun. You can start anywhere in the Bible. Anywhere. He did this deal. He's all, close your eyes. It was fast. You tell me when to stop. Stop. Left or right, left. Left or right, left. Down. Okay. And he reads it. Where's Jesus? Oh, man. That's pointing to the salvation of the Lord. Yeah. Old Testament is pointing to what Jesus does. It's pointing to the fulfillment of the Messiah. And the New Testament gives glory of what it's about Jesus. You can start anywhere. Someone's like, oh, I'm reading in the Old Testament where, you know, blah, blah, blah. Old Testament's different than the New Testament. It's, you know, it's not about, people say they're all over the map. If someone's in the Word, we start where they're at. And you just lead them to the Lord. It's, if you're filled with the Spirit, God will do it. That's what it's all about. All Scripture points to Jesus. So therefore, we are to preach Jesus, not ourselves. What has Jesus done? Not what you have done. Do you know what I mean? The world is full of self-help books. You reach down, you pick yourself up by your bootstraps, and you... I couldn't, actually. I was done. It's the Holy Spirit of God that saved me and gave me a hope and a peace and a future. Acts 4:20 is when the guy was healed at the beautiful gate. And John and Peter are before the Sanhedrin. And the guy, remember we were talking about last time, he could walk and I was skipping around the stage and being weird. But he was, and they couldn't do anything because for a notable miracle has been done. And they're like, stop preaching in Jesus' name. And what do they say in verse 20? They're like, hey man, whether it's right in your eyes or not, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Are we speaking the things that we have seen and heard? Or are we walking around with a spirit of timidity? It is for their benefit, after all. Do we realize that? Do you ever feel like, and I'm sorry if there's any insurance salesmen here, but do you ever feel like you're trying to sell somebody something? Win the conversation? You shouldn't. You shouldn't feel like, if you get to where you're trying to win a conversation, just stop. Because it's the love is done and it's becoming about trying to prove a point, trying to prove why they need Jesus instead of being like, you know what? It's okay to like talk to someone about the Lord and not convert somebody on the spot. But you can speak what you have seen and you can speak what you have heard. We're not peddling Jesus. We are sharing a life-changing experience. Have you tasted the goodness of God? Have you tasted? Let me know. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many people who haven't. Actually, people are, you know, that guy's a celebrity. He doesn't need me. He has it all together. Why is the celebrity death and drug overdose rate? I mean, I don't have numbers in front of me, but just looking at what I see, it's gigantic. People are empty vessels, filling themselves with lies and deceit. The enemy has three things: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He comes after us in these three ways all the time. What do we have? We have the sword of the Spirit. We have God's word. These are the things that, these are real. These are alive. These aren't like a prescription. We're not trying to win a debate. We're not trying to sell anybody anything. I remember when I first was saved, and I'll end with this. I just experienced, my best friend was there. My best friend died a few years later. I never told him about the Lord. He didn't want to hear it. I never told him about him. But I remember telling my girlfriend at the time, her mom, I was with them when I got saved. And I was like, Judy, I feel all this stuff. But I don't know what to say to people. I don't know the Bible. I open it up and I feel like God's speaking to my heart, but I don't know what to say. And she goes, JJ, all you have to say, and we read it last week. Remember the blind man? I was blind, now I see. And she's like, that's it. That's what you have to say to people. If they're like, you're an idiot afterwards, that's okay. Because God does the changing. We don't do the changing. But if we're not standing up for what we have seen, what we have heard, and what we have experienced, we're cheating people out of ourselves, and we're benching ourselves, because God wants to use every single person. I saw Helen this morning, and I'm like, hey, I was thinking about you this week. I might use you this morning. She's like, really? I'm like, yeah, you know why? Because God uses everybody to share his word, his love with people. Have you gotten a hug from Helen? It's like it was sent from the Lord to you. You're like, oh, don't let go. This is amazing. I was blind. Now I see. Turn people to the Lord. You don't have to provide. Be an introduction. Have you ever introduced two people and then later on they're great friends? I love it. And snowboarding, I'm like, hey, have you met so-and-so? Oh. They meet. 3 years later, it's like you're written out of the picture and they're like, tight, you know? That's how I want it to be with God. Oh, you don't know the Lord? He knows you. And then we just introduce people to God. Bring them to church. They'll be equipped, man. They'll be sharpened up. Mr. Blumberg loves Jesus, and he shared. Yeah, so grateful. You are an ambassador for Christ. And when I say completely, I mean this. If the opportunity is there, if that person, like the eunuch, says, what prevents me from being baptized? And he says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're at that point, the spiritual battle will never be heavier than when someone wants to give their life to the Lord. Because if you ever been at an altar call and you're like, stand up, if that's you, if you want to give your life to the Lord, it's like the weight is pushing on your shoulders. And you have to just stand up completely. If that opportunity ever arises, I don't care if you're in the middle of 50,000 people at a baseball game. I don't care if you are in the middle of a parking lot and it's pouring down rain. I don't care where you are. If the opportunity arises, you go there with that person right there, because it's the best decision I'll ever make. Don't write people off. So I'm going to quarterback this thing the best thing I can, like Tom does. So the worship team, if you guys want to come up here, I'm going to end with this, and I'm going to pray. And we're going to have some people in the front, you guys. If that's you this morning, if you feel like you have been on the bench, if you feel like you want to be used, if you feel like your vessel is full of junk, needs to be cleaned out, if you need to draw close to the Lord this morning, that's what this time's about. The message is to prepare our hearts, and this is a time of response to God. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. This world is trying to put us into a mold. The world loves molds. Oh, you're a Christian? Oh, you're a snowboarder? Oh, you're a businessman? Oh, you're a woman? Do not be fit into a mold. We break through the molds. Jesus is the mold. Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He will set you apart. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, Lord, we thank you for today. Father, I just thank you for your word. Thank you for the way you love us. Lord, I thank you that you have set us apart and you want us to be involved. Just as a father wants his son to just be involved with what he's doing. Lord, we look to you. We ask, Father, that you would fill us with your spirit. Without your spirit, we can do nothing. We need your spirit, Lord God. Allow us to see those situations around us, at home, at work, in the back with the kids, wherever we are, Lord, that we may just share what you have done. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.